Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we got a resolution to the whole Aaron Rodgers fiasco. And it really shouldn't be a surprise. But now that he's back in Green Bay, showing up this morning at 9:30 a.m. to training camp. Now that he's back in Green Bay, who has the most pressure on them this NFL season? We'll get to that coming up with our Tuesday Top 10. Plus, we got tickets to give away to the River Dogs. Their game tomorrow night at Joe Riley Park. As mentioned, it's Outer Banks night if you're a fan of that show, which was filmed here in Charleston. Kooks and Pogues night. I think those were the two names, if I remember correctly, of the different groups from that show. Based in Outer Banks, but filmed here in Charleston. And Charles Esten will be out there, the actor who was in that show and also on Nashville and The Office. And Whose Line Is It? And all sorts of other things. He'll be out there tomorrow night. So we have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away for the River Dogs game tomorrow night against the Fireflies. Stay tuned for that. Aaron Rodgers showed up to camp this morning. Training camp begins tomorrow for the Packers. Players report today. And, oh, Aaron Rodgers, what do you know? He was there. Flew in last night, walked into the facility at 9:30 Eastern time this morning. Right on time, right on schedule. Now, Adam Schefter announced, or reported yesterday, that the Green Bay Packers are making some concessions for Rodgers in order to get him back. Apparently, those concessions are that they're chopping off the final year of his contract. But he still remains under contract, of course, for this year and next year as well. And I've been saying all along that this was what was going to happen. What did you think was going to be the outcome? If you're Rodgers, you just either show up or you retire. Or you sit out for the year. We knew this was how it was going to play out because unlike the NBA and the NFL, these players don't have leverage. The teams have the leverage. And look at the three guys this offseason trying to force their way out of their team or trying to force something because of probably what Tom Brady did going to Tampa. Deshaun Watson, before at least his legal situation, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. All three of them still, at least as of now, with their teams. Rodgers isn't going anywhere. Russell Wilson isn't going anywhere. We'll see about Deshaun. But in the NFL, you just don't have that same power. The team holds it over you. So they say to Rodgers, you either come play for us or you can retire or sit out this year. But we're not just going to get rid of you. And so Rodgers showed up today, just as I said from day one. I said this from the beginning. If I'm the Packers, I don't give in because you don't have to. And Rodgers will be there. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to give up millions of dollars and a chance to potentially win a Super Bowl. He doesn't want that to be his legacy. So now he essentially has a two-year contract, and the idea is that the Packers will work with him after this year. And if he wants to be traded, at least what the Packers said, right, well, maybe we'll be willing to trade you. We'll see where we are a year from now. But that's what you're like in every situation. You're being critiqued or assessed in the workplace every day or in the NFL every day. And so they're doing the same with Rodgers. But I imagine a year from now, same idea. They're not going to want to move him either. We're going to be in the same exact spot, and they're still going to have leverage. Maybe not as much because he only has 1 year left in the contract where he could sit out that year and then pick whatever team he wants to go to in 2023, but he'll also be, what, 39 years old by then? Now we'll see how he plays this year, then sits out a year. Then you're talking about a 39-year-old Rodgers, something along those lines, maybe 40. It's not quite the same as right now today, coming off an MVP season. And how bad would it look if Rodgers this year said, let's say he gets back to an NFC Championship game, three straight years of reaching the NFC Championship and then still forces his way out of town a year from now? Will that look that good? I think Rodgers came out poor in all this. I don't think he got a single win. You want to tell me that this will increase his exit, right? That he'll be able to leave now after maybe this year or at minimum 2 years from now instead of three? All right. I mean, I guess that was worth it. But otherwise, I think he came off as petty, this offseason. Kind of selfish. Thought he came off a little bit like a jerk. I thought he came off like a troll, you know, like he was just trolling the Packers. And now he's back there, and he's going to play for them this year. This was Max Kellerman 3 months ago. This was his take on it. And I remember talking about this on the show at the time because I thought Max was way off. And now things have played out, and yeah, he was way off. The players don't have any leverage. But this is what Max Kellerman said 3 months ago about the Rodgers situation.
I don't think you can have a quarterback who you know doesn't want to be there lead you to a Super Bowl. And I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to. Well, if he sits out, he's going to have to give him back $30 million. Is he willing to do that? No, he can report and just let him know, I don't want to be here. And the locker room will know it, and the Packers will be dead in the water. Dead in the water. Well, what, is he not going to complete the pass? It's more than that. It's going to be demoralizing for a team to know their quarterback doesn't want to be there. They have to trade him. They have no choice. And he ain't even going to have to sit out to prove it. As I've been saying, what the Packers front office has to come to understand is the same thing Dan Gilbert in Cleveland had to come to understand about LeBron. Same thing with James Harden with the Rockets. Same thing with Tom Brady and the Patriots even. And now with Tampa, he's the boss. The putative boss, the so-called boss, just doesn't understand that yet. But Rodgers is the boss, as in he will tell them where he wants to be traded. And they will necessarily have to trade him, not just to some place, but to the place he orders them to trade him.
I've been wrong before. You know, I was pretty off base with Oklahoma and Texas last week. But Max there was way off base. Rodgers is not the boss. The teams in the NFL are the boss. And to provide examples from the NBA, it's apples and oranges. Tom Brady's not a fair example. He was a free agent when he left New England. They didn't get rid of him before that. He didn't force his way out. Yeah, sure, when he signed a contract, they agreed that, you know, no franchise tag or one-year deal so that he could leave sooner if he wanted to. But he didn't leave until he became a free agent, much like I don't think Aaron Rodgers will leave Green Bay until he becomes a free agent. Until then, the team's saying, yeah, we have your rights, and if you're going to play, you're going to play for us. We're not going to give you up because you don't want to be here. Fine, go sit at home. Make no money, and not only that, you're going to have to pay back money because the signing bonuses are up front, and they're based on each season. The signing bonus, you get that money. It's for each year, but you get it all up front. So if you sit out a year, you have to pay back that year of your signing bonus, money you already have in your pocket. You have to give it back to the team. Nobody's going to do that, especially in Aaron Rodgers trying to win a Super Bowl, coming off an MVP season at 37 with just a few years left. It was ridiculous. That's why we didn't talk much about Aaron Rodgers through all this. Because I knew, I said it from day one, he's going to be there in training camp. He'll be the quarterback week one. He's not going anywhere. It doesn't make sense to. And the Packers don't have to move him. Of course, we're also not in Green Bay, and we're not a national show, so don't have to talk about him every day either like others. But there was nothing to talk about. We had no updates, no news, and you knew when push comes to shove, he'll be there because he has to. He has no leverage. He has no other choice. If he wants to play football this year, and that's what's best for him, he's going to have to do it in Green Bay. And by the way, this was a team one game away from the Super Bowl last year. And according to Pro Football Focus, they had the second-best offensive line in the league last year. They had the number 6 running back in the league last year, and they had the number 2 wide receiver last year. That's what you're working with for a team that went 13-3 into the Super Bowl, and the Packers offered you an extension to give you even more money this offseason. I think Rodgers comes out looking poor in this. What are you complaining about? What are you looking for? And now that he's back in Green Bay, we can stop worrying about this and also focus on the upcoming season, which in a moment will lead us to our top 10 list of now which teams, players, coaches, what 10 people or things in the NFL are facing the most pressure this year. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's first go to the phones, because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
All right, Mr. Liz, wasn't it the first year that Green Bay, that wanted him so bad, paid like $400 million that first year?
What, to sign Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave him some sort of contract. He was the highest, you know, all quarterbacks are the highest paid until the next quarterback. So he was originally at the time of the deal.
But look what happened to Tampa Bay when they signed Tom Brady. Super Bowl win.
That's right. Take that, Mr. Rodgers. And Tampa Bay, they beat Aaron Rodgers to get to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, and not only that, look at all the money that Team Green Bay lost wanting him that bad, and he wasn't really that great. Right?
Who wasn't
Aaron
that
Rodgers,
great? Rodgers?
I don't think he was all that great.
No, not in that game, not against Tampa Bay. He had a couple of interceptions. They fell behind early, and Rodgers is now, I think it's 1-4 in NFC title games. So he has not played good enough in those big spots.
Nope, and not only that, that shows the old bull with experience always wins that over the young cow.
That's right. Take the old bull over the young cow.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So there you go. That's that experience you're talking about.
That's right.
You know?
That's what many people say about Super Dave as well. That's why you can see the future so well, because of all that experience you have.
I don't know. I don't think anybody can see the future. But anyway, I try to look at the X's and the O's real quick. I love the game of football. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, they try to put soccer and football together, but soccer's not football. Not tackle football.
No.
So nothing takes place of football, you know?
That's right.
That's why the ratings are so high with it and everything.
Aaron Rodgers got paid $134 million by Green Bay.
What happened to all that money for him to want to work every doggone time?
If Green Bay gives you $134 million, do you think you could go win a Super Bowl for him?
Not like Tom Brady. I hate to see what kind of money Tampa Bay paid Tom Brady.
Oh, so you couldn't perform like Tom Brady, but could you perform like Aaron Rodgers?
That's hard to say with that kind of money. I think the Green Bay would want more performance with that kind of money.
Yes.
You know?
I think so.
Especially if you work for a company, you got paid that kind of money, let's say IBM or anything like that, you know, you would expect them to be number one in the world, right?
That's right. IBM would expect a couple of Super Bowls as well. Tell you what, you give Super Dave $134 million. He may not play like Tom Brady, but he'll play like Aaron Rodgers. He'll win that game for you. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Billy is with us. Billy, what's going on?
Hey, Luke, how you doing?
Good.
A couple things. First of all, the Deshaun Watson thing. I just want to know how much of it is really true, because it seems like every time we have these stories that come out, the women always wait at least a couple of years before they find out that they say that this happened and that happened. I know Deshaun Watson had some kind of thing that played out with him like a year or two ago with the Texans, and I'm not sure, I cannot remember exactly what it was. But then after whatever happened with that, that's when the story started breaking. So I don't believe half of it. I think a lot of it's got to do with money. I think the time is just all out of shape, and I think they feel like he's out. I don't think he should play, but I think they should let it play out, because I think if he says that he's innocent, would he have a lawsuit against those women as far as them accusing him of doing something he didn't?
Yeah, he should. I said from the beginning of this, if they're telling the truth, obviously, and Deshaun's found guilty, he, of course, should be punished. But if they are found to not be telling the truth, then yes, they should be punished for dragging him through the mud like this and building a lawsuit on lies. So one way or another,
Exactly. Somebody
should be punishing this because, if you're going to, say, make things up, that's obviously a terrible thing to do. And if Deshaun did these things, well, that's terrible, and he'll be punished as well.
Now, one other thing, the thing with the Aaron Rodgers thing is I'm glad it's finally over with, but the way I've felt about him for years, and hopefully what I've said will prove it again this year, is for him to act like that during the offseason, I think they should make him sit at least one or two games before he even starts and let the other quarterback play, because the quarterback was planning on playing to begin with, and then all of a sudden he shows up to camp like no big deal. If he wants to be traded, let him be traded. I think he's a choke artist. He's proven it time and time again. I think the team's going to show this here. They really don't want him to play with them, because every time he's been in big games, 1-4, he throws interceptions, he throws fumbles, the team quits on him halfway through the game, and they don't rally around him. I don't think he's a leader. Because, I mean, you got statistics, yes, but the statistics are for losers, too. And you got all the statistics in the world, but look how the team plays after a bad performance, and they don't rally around him during the game.
Tell him, Billy. I love it. Aaron Rodgers is 1-4 in conference championships now. The only other quarterbacks with that same record in those games, Kenny Stabler and Donovan McNabb. And Rodgers is a lot more talented than those two. Now, you deserve a lot of credit to get to 5 conference championships. But to go 1-4, especially when you are Aaron Rodgers, is not enough. And by the way, he's also 1-8 when trailing at halftime in the postseason, like he was against that Tampa Bay team. And he played better in the second half, and he brought them back, and they had a chance there. Matt LaFleur, we know, made that terrible decision to kick the field goal. But, 1-8 when trailing at halftime in the playoffs. and he has a lot of ability. He should be the type of guy that is bringing the team back to try to win those games. But for Rodgers, we really still don't really know what's at the crux of this, what he really is upset about. Maybe it's just Jordan Love. Maybe it's been the lack of personnel moves. But again, according to Pro Football Focus, the Packers had the number two offensive line last year. They had the number six running back. They had the number two wide receiver. Their defense, I believe, was top 10, I believe, certainly top half of the league. You had a coach who got you to the NFC Championship in year two, now getting you back there. And Rodgers did not play well, at least in the first half of that game against Tampa Bay, as they fell behind at home, and he's now 1-4. So I think you also have to look a little inward as well. Now, you got some talent around you. Could you have more talent? Yes, of course. But Rodgers is such a talented quarterback to only be 1-4 in conference championships. Not good enough. Right, that was the big knock on Donovan McNabb. He was 1-4. Rodgers has the same record as McNabb in those games. He's so much better than Donovan McNabb. Right, and yet they're both 1-4 in those big games. He's got to be better. I think he's played with more talent, too, than McNabb did at the time. McNabb with Freddie Mitchell and Pinkston. And yeah, he had T.O. that one year they actually went to the Super Bowl. I think Rodgers has more talent around him in Green Bay. Got to win more in those big games. Coming up, that leads us to this. Our Tuesday Top 10, we'll do it when we come back. Rodgers is now back in Green Bay, so who's facing the most pressure this year? Which 10 players, teams, coaches have the most pressure on them in the NFL this season? I'll let you know my Top 10 when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Who's facing the most pressure this NFL season? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Who's this version by?
Johnny Nash.
Oh, okay. I like this. One of Bob Marley's 11 kids has the same birthday as me. I think it's Damian Marley. We share the same birthday. He was born years before me, but we celebrate our birthdays together. Also, got into music. Damian had a big hit with Welcome to Jam Rock. That was a jam back in the day, about 15 years ago. I think one of my friends, I think that was his ringtone for a little while. That was a good song. Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay. No surprise for yours truly, but hey, we can't all be right all the time. But now that he's back in Green Bay, at training camp, ready to go, the belief is that, well, maybe a year from now. Right, this is the last dance. That's what him and Davante Adams said on social media. They posted photos from the Jordan documentary from a year ago. This is their last hurrah. Davante Adams is a free agent at the end of the year. And then apparently, you know, a year from now, they'll both get their way out of Green Bay. So now that Green Bay has Rodgers for at least one more year, maybe Davante Adams for only one more year, who's facing the most pressure this year? I'll give you my top 10 list this week for our Tuesday Top 10.
Time for the Tuesday Top 10, where we rank anything from quarterbacks to cheeseburgers right here on the Morrow Midday Show. Interested?
Always. It's a combination of teams, players, coaches, the 10 things, let's say, in the NFL with the most pressure this year. Number 10, Justin Herbert. Had a great rookie season. He was the rookie of the year for the Chargers a year ago. They fire their coach because they thought that's what was holding them back. And they bring in a new head coach who's never been a head coach before. Young guy in his late 30s, defensive guy, now comes in with the young quarterback Justin Herbert. We know young quarterbacks have fared much better with offensive head coaches. You give him now a defensive guy out in L.A. Granted, they don't have a huge fan base. And they do have a lot of talent around Herbert, but my concern would be he played so well last year, and yet the Chargers were still under 500. Now in year two, expectations are high. I think if Herbert takes a step forward, the Chargers will be one of the best teams in the AFC this year. But it's dependent on his performance. When you come in as a rookie and he wasn't even starting week one, not as much pressure. Now you're the guy, and you performed well in your first year, not only do you have to reach that standard again, you have to pass it. You have to continue to get better now. So my concerns would be a sophomore slump, and, you know, maybe not a good head coach that was hired. You do have to still deal with Pat Mahomes. Maybe he's not ready for that next step. You have a year of film on him if you're a defensive coach. So I think Justin Herbert has some pressure on his shoulders to follow up last year and perform even better. Number nine, for most pressure this year in the NFL, I'll say Baker Mayfield, because he's another one where you're waiting for him to take that next step. He helped the Browns finally get to the playoffs last year, but he didn't have to do a ton along the way. Now this year, you want to take that next step forward. Let's get a little more out of Baker. Let's go a little further in the playoffs. Let's have a little more of a potent offense. This is one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. So Baker has no excuses. You got the right head coach finally, it seems. You got the talent around you. That division is seemingly up for grabs. Baker needs to perform better this year. Also, he has to figure out how to work with Odell Beckham Jr. Because Baker was better when OBJ was not playing. So you have to find a way to get on the same page as your number one wide receiver. It'd be like if the head of sales and the number one salesman are clashing all the time. Like, he's your best asset. He's your number one guy. You have to find a way to make it work. You have to work with one another. You can't be butting heads all the time. That's not good for business. So Baker has to figure out a way to perform at a high level with Beckham Jr. on the field. Number eight for most pressure this year, Tua. This team almost made the playoffs last year. They won 10 games in Miami, but they had Ryan Fitzpatrick there to bail them out more often than you probably hoped. This year, no Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's now your team if you're Tua. Also, a year removed from the injury talks. That's not as big of a concern. That was a fallback last year. That could be an excuse. Look, Tua didn't play great his rookie year, but maybe he wasn't healthy yet. He was still coming off of that injury from Alabama. Right? Maybe he shouldn't have been playing just yet. Okay, well, now we've had another offseason. We're a year removed from that point. He should be good to go. And this is now his team. They have handed him the keys to the car. Fitzpatrick is not here, not only to help you in the locker room or the film room, right, that veteran presence to help the young quarterback, but also to bail you out when the going gets tough. Twice last year in the fourth quarter, they had to pull Tua for Fitz to come in and win the game. It's not going to happen this year. This is your team. They went out. They got some more pieces for offense in the offseason, including their first-round draft pick. For Tua, you have to perform well this year. And they won 10 games last year, so you really can't take a step back. Right? If you win only 8 games this year, it'd be like, oh, that doesn't look good. You have to up the ante, and that puts a lot of pressure on a young quarterback. You have to come in and probably win double-digit games this year. Anything less, a little bit of a step back this year. People think the Dolphins could be a playoff team. Tua's going to have to play well. Number 7 on the list of people in the NFL with the most pressure on them, Urban Meyer. Urban is number 7. First year with the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence comes in. They only won 1 game last year. So normally expectations would be low. First time coach in the NFL, inheriting a team that only won 1 game, you shouldn't expect much. Except Urban Meyer is a top 3 college football coach of all time. Now comes to the NFL for the first time. He has Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback. Even though he's only a rookie, expectations will be high for Lawrence as well. And we're going to make a quick judgment on Urban Meyer. We are going to decide probably by Thanksgiving, one way or another. Either, oh yeah, he could work in the NFL. Or, no, this is a disaster. Right? If the Jaguars start off, say, I don't know, 1-5, just say. And they're not a great team. But people will forget that point. If they start 1-5, people will be, oh, Urban, oh yeah, that was a mistake. He's not going to work in the NFL. We're very impatient as sports fans. I think Urban Meyer has some pressure to prove that he can get the job done at the NFL level, especially when you give him a Trevor Lawrence. And normally, they should have a lot of time, but they usually don't. And you go back to other college coaches that take over, right? Steve Spurrier was quickly run out of town. Butch Davis, all these guys. You would think you'd give them a little more time. It's their first time coaching in the NFL. They're usually taking over bad teams. But that's typically not how it works. We have an even shorter time frame for them because they don't have that track record to fall back on. Right? You hire, Pete Carroll. He gets off to a slow start. It's like, yeah, but we know the kind of coach he is at this level. Whereas you hire Urban Meyer, that's all you have to go off to. He gets off to a slow start. That's all you have to base him off of. Like, yeah, maybe he doesn't work in the NFL. Urban Meyer's number 7. Another coach is number 6. That's Sean Payton. Sean Payton is considered one of the best offensive coaches in the league, but you know what? He had Drew Brees for his entire coaching career in New Orleans and won, in fact, only got to 1 Super Bowl. Sean Payton needs to do more. He's lost the last four games in the playoffs. They've lost as all four, I believe, they were favored in. The last four playoff losses. They lost at home to a Vikings team, right, in overtime in the first round. They lost at home to the Rams in a game in which they were favored on that pass interference thing. They have come up short year after year. This past year, once again, coming up short. Sean Payton has not done well enough in the postseason. And now you remove Drew Brees, a top 10 quarterback all time, and replace him with potentially Taysom Hill? Let's see how much of an offensive genius Sean Payton is. Let's see how good of a head coach Sean Payton is. All good coaches had good quarterbacks. Go back through the history. They all had them. Vice versa. All good quarterbacks usually have good coaches. There's not many great coaches out there who did it without a good quarterback. Those are the really great coaches. So let's see Sean Payton now replacing Drew Brees for Taysom Hill with a team that's already underachieved. They've lost a couple of pieces. Michael Thomas is going to be injured to begin the year. Let's see what the Saints look like. I wouldn't be surprised if they were last year's Patriots. Patriots lost Tom Brady. They fell down below 500. The Saints lose Drew Brees. I wouldn't be surprised if they were about a 500 team this year. I think there's pressure on Sean Payton to really prove himself. He's number six on my list. Number five for most pressure in the NFL this year, Ben Roethlisberger. He's kind of on borrowed time. A lot of people thought he wouldn't even be back this year. He had to lose weight. He took a pay cut. He took a lot. He made a lot of concessions to remain the starting quarterback of the Steelers this year. Now let's see how he does. The Steelers were the last undefeated team last year, and then went into the postseason and embarrassed themselves. And Mike Tomlin also has some pressure on him, but the seat is hotter, or Roethlisberger is towards the end of his line more so than Tomlin. But if you look at Mike Tomlin in the playoffs, he has not done a good enough job. And most of this with Ben Roethlisberger. Right, but they lost to the Browns without their head coach this last year. Didn't make the playoffs the previous 2 years. 2017, the Steelers lost to Blake Bortles in their first playoff game. Right, 2016, they were embarrassed by the Patriots. 2015, they lost to 39-year-old Peyton Manning blowing a fourth quarter lead. 2014, they lost to a sixth seed. 2013, they didn't make the playoffs. 2012, didn't make the playoffs. 2011, lost in the first game to Tim Tebow. I could go on and on. Since the Super Bowl, the Steelers' playoff run has not been impressive. That falls on both Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. They need to perform better this year. Number four for the most pressure, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace in Chicago. They drafted Justin Fields to buy them a little more time. But if Justin Fields does not work out this year, or if he doesn't show enough potential, or even if the Bears have a bad year and Justin Fields plays well enough, they're going to be out of a job. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. It's the whole reason why they drafted Justin Fields. Now they have to develop him. They have to win some games this year. Otherwise, they'll be unemployed at the end of the year. Or by the end of the year. They're fourth on the list of most pressure. Number three would be Daniel Jones, quarterback of the Giants. Because the Giants have done a good job building up that team where they have everything else. Top 10 defense, two Pro Bowl tight ends, a couple of good wide receivers, good enough offensive line, top third in the league, Pro Bowl running back. Looks like they have a good coach. It all comes down to Daniel Jones. And if Jones doesn't play well this year, he'll lose his starting job in New York. I don't think he'll get another starting opportunity. He'd become almost like Teddy Bridgewater without the injury. He'd go be a backup somewhere, maybe down the road. If he works well enough, he'll get a chance to start somewhere. But this is his best opportunity. Has plenty of talent around him. If he plays well, the Giants could think, hey, we got our guy for the future. He really is our franchise quarterback. If he doesn't play well, they're thinking, oh, yeah, we got to go get somebody else because it's the quarterback that's holding us back. Daniel Jones is playing for his job this year. He's number three on the list of guys with most pressure. Number two, Matt Stafford. He comes to the Rams, and now they're Super Bowl favorites right behind the Buccaneers. They have the second-best odds in the NFC. He's going to be that much better than Jared Goff. They were a playoff team last year with Jared Goff. Right? The expectations are already high, and if you perform any worse, you're going to be compared to Jared Goff. And it's not a great comparison. And they're going to say, right, he's no better than Goff was. He can't even get them to the second round of the playoffs either. At this point for the Rams, it's almost get to the Super Bowl or bust. At least NFC title game. And the problem for Matt Stafford is he hasn't really won playoff games before. Hasn't had the chance to play in a whole lot of playoff games. Has a terrible record against teams with winning records. The question is that more on Detroit and their lack of talent? Or is that Stafford not being able to beat good teams or win big games? We'll find out this year in L.A. But he's going to have to prove himself this year in those big games, in a tough division, as a favorite. And plus, anytime somebody gives up a lot for you, that puts more pressure as well. Right? Because otherwise it's like, well, what was the point? They wasted their assets to bring you in, and you didn't make a difference. right? It's like if a company gets in a bidding war and, oh, yeah, we'll pay, we'll overpay to get this guy, and then he comes in and he does a terrible job. It's like, well, that was a waste. We could have went and got somebody else for much less money. We decided to pay this guy. We thought he'd make all the difference for our company. He's been terrible. It wasn't worth it. Right, we got into a bidding war. We were willing to overextend, go over our budget, bring this guy in. It was a disaster. That's Matt Stafford. They went out. They made a big move. The idea is to get a Super Bowl. He has to deliver. But number one for the most pressure on them this year, the Green Bay Packers. Now that Aaron Rodgers is back, this may be the last dance. This may be the last hurrah. And then you may go into 2022 replacing Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love and not having Devontae Adams. And who knows what that future holds. And this is for a Green Bay franchise that has gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and over the course of those 30 years have won only two Super Bowls while having two of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. No one else has had that. You know, Montana to Steve Young is similar, but I don't know if that's even as good as what the Packers have had. Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, similar, but Luck didn't hold up his end of the bargain. I don't think that was as good as Peyton Manning was. So for the Packers, this is your last chance because once you move on to Jordan Love, I don't know what Love brings to the table. I don't know if he is a Super Bowl quarterback, at least just yet. I think the Packers could take a step back, especially if you lose your only top-end wide receiver as well. The Packers have to make this count this year while they have Rodgers. I'm, of course, a Vikings fan. When this news broke, I was texting with my brothers, and I used the line from Seinfeld, where Newman says, I guess I'll put up with a little Jerry if it gets me a lot of Elaine, when talking about his millennium party, millennial party, millennium. And I thought the same thing. I'll put up with a little more Rodgers. One more year of Rodgers in Green Bay if it leads to Jordan Love after that. I'll take my chances. Right, get Rodgers out of there. Replace him with anybody, especially a Jordan Love. The pressure is on the Packers to try to win while they still have Rodgers because they haven't won enough with him. And those are the 10 teams, players, coaches with the most pressure on them this year. Herbert, Baker Mayfield, Tua, Urban Meyer, Sean Payton, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Nagy, and Ryan Pace. And the top three are Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford, and the Packers. But there's a lot of guys with pressure. That's what's the great thing about the NFL, right? My honorable mention would include Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Show him that it's worth it to continue to build around you. Derek Carr continues to play for his job at the Raiders. Cam Newton has to show in New England that he's still a starting quarterback. Ryan Tannehill with the Titans just lost his offensive coordinator. He has to prove that it's him and it wasn't Arthur Smith. And the Titans have to take that next step to actually go try to get to a Super Bowl. The Colts with Carson Wentz, right, show that that's worth it. The Colts have everything except a quarterback. Show that Carson Wentz is the right guy and you can go win while you still have this core of players. And even Sam Darnold fighting for his job in Carolina. Show that it was more the Jets' fault, not your fault. Those were some of my honorable mentions. Some other players or teams that I thought of. But you can make the case really for every team. Somebody has pressure on them this year. Right? If you were to run through the teams, even just in the NFC East, for the Cowboys, I would say it's Mike McCarthy. For the Giants, it's Daniel Jones. For the Eagles, it's their first-year head coach and probably Jalen Hurts as well, playing for his job. For the Washington football team, probably Ryan Fitzpatrick. They got the defense. They got everything else. Maybe a little Ron Rivera. Can you get this team back to the playoffs? They have talent. Right? For the Bears, it's their coach and front office. For the Lions, probably Jared Goff with one last opportunity to show he could be a starting quarterback. For the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, can you show that you're good enough to win the big games? For the Packers, well, you got to win while you have Aaron Rodgers. I could go on and on. Right? Every team, there is somebody, a high-profile quarterback, coach, just the franchise themselves, that has a lot of pressure on them this year. That's the great thing about the NFL. Careers are short. Seasons are quick. You got to make your case. And there's a lot of guys in the NFL this year that every year, you have to make your case that you belong. Otherwise, they're going to move on and find somebody else. They don't wait around. Which takes me to this. With Rodgers back in Green Bay, maybe for only 1 year, with Matt Ryan still in Atlanta, Sam Darnold now in Carolina, which NFL teams are best constructed, best set up for the next 3 years? Which NFL teams have the best three-year outlook? We'll get to that coming up. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio. Love.
Coming up, Which NFL teams have the best three-year outlook? We'll run through it in just a moment here in the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Let me tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Now they're to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them at 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. You can track your dry cleaning, see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. And the best part is, if you mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, you can get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now with their to-go service, easier than ever before. So, ESPN with ESPN Plus put out this interesting breakdown where they graded every team in five different categories. Their overall roster minus the quarterback, then the quarterback, coaching, how they do in the draft, and their front office. And they gave them a grade in each of these five categories, which then led to the overall grade, and then ordered teams based off of those grades. And when they were grading these categories, they were looking at the next 3 years, not just this season, not what happened this past season, but the next 3 years. What's the outlook for each of these categories for each team? And you can find this online with the ESPN Plus subscription. The Chiefs finished number one. So according to the NFL contributors at ESPN.com, the Chiefs have the most positive outlook for the next 3 years. You could understand why. The Buccaneers are number two. Those are the two favorites going into this year. And long-term, obviously, Pat Mahomes has a lot more of his career left than Tom Brady. The Baltimore Ravens are number three on this list overall. Then the Bills are fourth, and the Browns fifth. Those are the five teams with the best outlooks over the next 3 years in the NFL. What about the back end of the list? Who is looking at the worst future in the NFL, at least near future? Looking at the back, let's say, five of this list, the Texans are number 32, and you can understand why. Without Deshaun Watson, the Texans have nothing. The Lions are number 31 because the Lions, same idea, don't have much to get excited about for the future or for the present. The Eagles are number 30. Don't think they have the long-term quarterback. That roster is not very good. They have a first-year head coach. The Bengals are 29th, and the Raiders are 28th. Maybe outside of the Raiders, you have the usual suspects when you're talking about the worst teams in the NFL. And the Bengals, the Eagles right now, the Texans, certainly the Chiefs, the Texans. These are the teams that most people would guess. Then you scroll a little bit ahead on the list, and you don't have to go too far to find the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons clock in at 26th on this list. They're given an overall score of a 70, right, a C- for the next 3 years. In terms of the overall roster, without the quarterback, third worst. The Falcons were ranked to have the third worst roster in the NFL for the next 3 years. Quarterback, Matt Ryan, ranked 19th. First-year head coach, Arthur Smith, ranked 19th. Their ability to perform in the draft, 19th. Front office, now at Terry Fontenot, ranked 25th for Atlanta. So for the next 3 years, at least according to this breakdown, not a ton to look forward to with the Falcons. And they give a little blurb for each team, you know, why they're here, what their biggest worry is, what they could change for the better, so on and so forth. For the category in which they put why are they here, why are the Falcons only 26 on this list? And as they explain, limited resources to work with, cap situation isn't very good. Matt Ryan, right, probably isn't the long-term solution for the Falcons. They need to retool. Biggest worry, well, as they said, Matt Ryan. Do the Falcons make the right move in putting their faith in Matt Ryan and ditching or ignoring the quarterback position in the draft? I've made my feelings on that very well known this offseason. I thought it was the wrong move. I thought the Falcons should have gotten their quarterback in the draft. As they ask, what could change for the better? They said they're pass catchers with Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, regardless of who the quarterback is. You have a couple of good guys there in the passing game to build off of moving forward. Falcons are number 26th on this list. If you move ahead, well, you don't have to go much further to then find the Carolina Panthers, who slide in at number 23rd. In terms of best outlooks next 3 years, Panthers have the 23rd best outlook in the next 3 years in the NFL. For their grades, overall a 72, again a C-, not much better than the Falcons. For their overall roster, when you remove the quarterback, 26th, so just outside of the bottom five. When it comes to their quarterback, with Sam Darnold now, same idea, 26th. Coaching with Matt Rhule, he was ranked 16th best in the league. The job that they do in the draft, actually 7th, that's pretty good. Front office, ranked 19th. And overall, it leads to the Panthers being ranked number 23rd overall. Why they're here, well, same idea with the Panthers, the quarterback. They have questions at that quarterback position that they have to figure out with Sam Darnold. And the biggest worry would be Sam Darnold. How much of his struggles were left in New York or based on the Jets, and how much of it is really about him, regardless of where he goes? Can Joe Brady help him? Joe Brady himself has only been a one-year offensive coordinator in the NFL. And also, as they question, should the Panthers have drafted a quarterback in the first round this year instead of going in on Sam Darnold? But Sam Darnold, ranked dead last in QBR among qualifiers last season, has never finished better than 25th in that category in his career, so he doesn't give you a lot of optimism other than you hope that his concerns were because, or his struggles were because of the pieces, or lack thereof, around him with the Jets. Looking through this list, just looking at each category, when it comes to the rosters, minus quarterbacks, but the roster without the quarterback, their top five in the next 3 years, Buccaneers number one, which means the Buccaneers may be able to have some success even after Tom Brady goes. They have all the other pieces. You just have to find the right replacement at quarterback. Browns, number two, second best roster over the next 3 years in the NFL, is the Cleveland Browns. They have plenty of talent on that roster, and they have plenty of young talent that will stick around. Baker Mayfield just has to take advantage. Number three on this list, the Green Bay Packers, which is interesting because, again, right, Aaron Rodgers is so upset, you'd believe, because either he's underpaid or he doesn't have enough pieces around him. But at least moving forward, the Packers are believed to have the third best roster in the league. So, again, you go back to the Buccaneers, who will have to replace Tom Brady. Well, maybe for Green Bay, if they have to replace Aaron Rodgers, say, a year from now, they'll have the weapons, the pieces, the assets around them for a Jordan Love or anyone else to step in and succeed. The 49ers are fourth for best rosters, the Chiefs fifth. And this, again, is all looking at the next 3 years, not just currently. Bottom five for rosters, starting from five and then going to the very worst, Eagles, Bengals, the Falcons, Lions, Texans. So the Falcons roster, moving forward over the next couple of years, is only better, only looks better than the Lions and the Texans, who will be two of the worst teams in the league this year. That's not good. It's also another reason why the Falcons should have ripped the Band-Aid off, moved on from Matt Ryan, because it looks like they're going to have to go through an overhaul. Don't delay it. Right? Start it as early as you can. It's like they did an episode of this like in King of Queens, and maybe you've gone through this in your own personal life, but King of Queens, when they had like bed bugs, and even there's another episode, similar idea, when they had mold, and Doug tries to take care of it himself because he doesn't want to pay to have the experts come in, and then you just push it off, and then things get worse, and then when it's finally time to bring in the experts, it costs you more money and more time, and it was a bigger headache. And it's like, well, we probably should have just done that from the beginning. Same idea with the Falcons. Sure, you could push this off down the road, but then when it comes time to rebuilding, right, it's like, well, we probably could have gotten a head start on this 2 years ago instead of clinging on to Matt Ryan and others. Just like for you in your own personal life, you have a problem at the house, it's like, oh, let me try to fix it first. And then over time, it only gets worse. You can't fix it. You bring in the experts. Like, yeah, it's going to cost you more money now, and it's going to take longer to do. And it's like, well, we just wasted time and money. The Falcons, I believe, are just wasting time and also money on their quarterback. When it comes to quarterbacks, based off of this ranking, top five quarterbacks in the league for the next 3 years, Patrick Mahomes number one, no surprise. They still put Tom Brady number two. So the belief must be that he'll play at least two of those 3 years. Josh Allen, number three. They believe he'll continue to progress. He is a young, exciting quarterback. Russell Wilson, number four. Dak Prescott, number five for the best quarterbacks over the next 3 years. Meanwhile, the five teams with the worst quarterback situations in the next 3 years. Giants. That goes back to our Tuesday top 10 today. Guys with the most pressure. Daniel Jones, big question mark for the Giants. The Lions are the next on that list, with Jared Goff. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts. The Texans really without a quarterback right now. Quarterback in limbo. And then the Broncos. have the worst quarterback outlook for the next 3 years, currently with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Looking at the last couple of categories for coaches, best coaches over the next 3 years, according to this rundown, Bill Belichick, number one. Now, I do think Bill Belichick is the best coach in football, still is. I think he's the greatest coach of all time in the NFL. If I'm starting a team and age isn't a concern, I'm going still today with Bill Belichick. But age, in the real world, is a concern, and Belichick's about to be 70. So if we're looking at the next 3 years, I mean, I don't think he's going to retire in a year or two. But if we're predicting the future, I don't know if Belichick is still the number one coach the further out you go. 3 years, yeah, I guess I could see him still coaching three more years. Andy Reid is number two on this list, followed by Sean Payton, who I think needs to do a better job in the postseason. Kyle Shanahan, four. Sean McVay, five, for best coaches next 3 years. A couple of young guys there at the end of the list. I think Shanahan needs to do a better job, and McVay hopes that Stafford will allow him to take that next step with the Rams. Meanwhile, the five worst coaches for the next 3 years. Mike McCarthy in Dallas probably won't even make it 3 years. Vic Fangio of the Broncos probably won't make it 3 years. Zach Taylor of the Bengals, we'll see if he gets through 3 years. Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, same idea, we'll see. David Culley with the Texans is the worst coach on this list for the next 3 years. Probably would agree there. And the last category I'll give you, and you can find this whole article and the whole breakdown online, ESPN+. Plenty of the things I don't agree with, but we don't need to go through everything. But the last category is the GM, the front office. Which front offices or which GMs will be the best over the next 3 years? They ranked the Ravens number one, the Browns number two, the Bills number three, the Colts four, and the Buccaneers fifth. And I can't really complain. Those five GMs have all done a good job so far building up these rosters. I can only assume they'll continue to do the same. Meanwhile, the five worst, Jaguars, that doesn't bode well for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, the Giants, who Dave Gettleman is a punching bag, but I think he's put together a pretty good roster in New York. Maybe the concern will be you don't know how much longer he'll be there. He's, I think, in his 70s. The Bengals, followed by the Raiders and the Bears. The Bears are last on this list, probably because they'll most likely be making a change in their front office in the next 3 years, and that's never good for a team. That is the breakdown of how these teams look for the next 3 years, overall and in different categories as well. The Panthers are ranked 23rd, and the Falcons 26th. Best teams in the league over the next 3 years. But the big question for each of them really is the quarterback. If Sam Darnold turns out to be a pretty good quarterback, the Panthers could have a pretty good future. If Matt Ryan still plays well enough, well then in the short term, until they find the next guy, the Falcons can still have a couple of pretty good years if Matt Ryan plays well enough. Like most things in football, it comes down to the quarterback. Are the rosters great? No. But you can always turn that over. You need the quarterback to play well, and that's the big question for both of those teams. Hour three coming up. Oklahoma and Texas getting even closer to joining the SEC. We'll get to that next. It's the More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.